Hey, toy family.
Hey, toy family.
This is the Marsham Toy Hour, where we discuss anything and everything designer toys. And this is episode 10, part 1. And I am your host, Gary Ham.
Gary Ham.
And I'm your co-host, Tyler Ham.
All right. And we do not have Aaron joining us again tonight. He's, again, busy with the store, and he's on the East Coast, so it's about almost midnight his time. So there's going to be occasions where he's just going to have to step out. So he'll join us in the future, but he did give us a few questions to ask our guests. And speaking of guests, there was a few episodes back where we played a game with Aaron and Tyler, and where they were asked to name as many designer toy scene couples as they could. And surprisingly, they rattled them off. Like, you would be surprised at how many couples that are on the designer toy scene.
That was surprising. I remember when we talked about that, we didn't even think we could really come up with, like, you know, two or three. Yeah. And then it just kind of went on. It became like a 5-minute bit.
Yeah, it was long. And then one thing we talked about how we really needed to get one of these couples on. And just, you know, we all know what the positive sides of being in a creative relationship is going to be. But we want to know the nitty-gritty, the all the funny and annoying aspects of being in one. And I, there has to be that.
Jerry Springer is actually coming on as our third host. So he's really good at getting to the bottom of all this.
Yeah. And this is where our guests are going to come in tonight. Not only are today's guests a creative power couple, but they are also highly revered in designer toy scene for their creature creations and their brand building. So let's just welcome Chris Reiniak and Amanda Louise Spade to the show.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for joining us.
Of course, power couple, huh?
Oh, yeah. You guys are a power couple, right?
That's awesome.
We're going to flaunt that everywhere we go now.
Yeah. You know, when I first saw both of your work, I thought you guys would make a good couple. I didn't know that you were a couple at the time, but every time I saw it, I'm like, these two would, you know, they should meet. And I didn't know that you guys knew each other and whatnot. So to find out that you guys actually are a couple is no surprise. It just seems like it was, you know, was meant to be and should be. So
it all makes sense.
Nobody's weirder than either of us. So nobody will tolerate that level of weirdness.
I can only imagine what your house looks like.
We can tell you what it looks like.
Does that work well? Does that complement each other, or do you kind of find that you kind of need each other to, you know, pull one another back when you kind of go off the creative crazy deep end?
In terms of like house decoration?
In terms of just every aspect of a relationship.
Chris is much more of a minimalist than I am. So yeah. If anybody's reining anybody in terms of that, it's usually him reining my, you know, stuff and messes and collections and all of that kind of stuff in. So, but he needs to be reined in other ways because he's kind of a morning person.
Annoying.
In every sense of the word, kind of like all the time. So sometimes it's like, Chris, can you just like go play a video game or something? Just chill out, man. Watch a movie.
No, I'm something a morning else. Person as well. So I drive a lot of people nuts.
Yeah, that's me. That's me too. Much to Amanda's chagrin.
I can't function until like 11 a.m.
Yeah, but she's been adapting.
I've been trying.
Yeah, yeah. With the more time with the kids in the morning.
Oh yeah, you have to be like
and
on
stuff,
a schedule
so.
And stuff with kids.
Yeah,
so.
But
kids will do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely, I know I can't relax. I'm sort of a workaholic. So she always has to remind me to relax. And a lot of, actually making art is like my hobby too, you know, like luckily it's my job, but also like I really love drawing and I'd rather be doing that than playing a video game most times. So
I'm really good at relaxing,
but she's awesome at relaxing.
For some reason I picture Chris just sitting there sculpting away and Amanda's on the sofa with a glass of wine, you know.
Yeah, it's usually a glass of wine in one hand and my 3DS in the other. That's usually how it works.
Man, you guys are still playing video games. That's shocking.
Yeah, well, it's mostly her. Like it's funny because her and my kids will sit down and like have an hour long conversation about video games, and I'm just like sitting there feeling like the left out kid that has no idea what they're talking about.
I keep trying to goad him into stuff, but I think it's just not his bag, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know what it. I loved video games when I was a kid. Like I played Sega Genesis like crazy. I mean, she's okay. Going all the way back, I started playing Pong at my grandmother's house. And then we had a 2600. Uh-huh. And then we had a Commodore 64. I can't remember which one came first. But then, you know, we went all the way up until I was in college. I think we had a Dreamcast. And then when I started working, I just stopped. I just kind of stopped playing video games. But I have been playing...
You like app games.
Yeah, I play some app games, but I've been playing... what's that game that I play? Red Dead Redemption for the past, like, 7 years.
Oh, wow.
I've never finished it.
I've never finished it. I'll, like, play, like, an hour of it a year.
It's going to be the 9-year campaign.
See, I can't even... I used to love video games, but I know if I start back up, it's over for me. Like, I have such an addictive personality that... I would be so deep into Tony Hawk Pro Skater or...
Oh, yeah.
Forget about it.
No, I was the same way. I played them a lot as a kid, too. And then when I started working, there just wasn't time. You know, like at most of my last video game system I got rid of because it was just collecting dust. You know, and every once in a while I have a Nintendo emulator that I'll play 5 minutes of Super Mario Brothers 3 or 10 minutes of Punch-Out. That's about all I can do about once a month.
Right.
Well, if Amanda's not playing video games, she's listening to old 16-bit video game music.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you
want my friend does that. I have a friend who, every time we go over, he's streaming video game music remixes.
Oh, nice. See, Chris gets to extra make fun of me, too, because, like, the type of games I play, like, they're not, like, sit down and have fun game. I mean, they're fun to me, but I play, like, long, drawn-out, like, strategy RPGs and stuff, too, because it's, like...
Yeah, it's like data entry. It's not like a game. It's like a drop-down menu within a drop-down menu to find a sword within a folder. You know,
that
like
sounds horrible.
I think it's great. I love it.
I mean, I get it because it's not real time, and you're just like plotting chess. Out. It's like chess. You know, chess. Super fun, right?
See, that's not winding down to me. When you have to use your brain that much, that's not winding down.
It's right. True.
I like to play occasional, you know, words with friends or something like that. But to sit there and no.
But most of the time we're not relaxing. Most of the time we are kind of grinding away at stuff.
But I think she came from a family of educators, and I came from a family of blue collar workers. So this is all making sense.
Oh yeah. See, I've already learned so much about you guys already. Like, on Instagram, I would think that you guys don't sleep and work 24/7. But here we're finding out that you play video games and
we have kids.
Yeah, I think, well, you know, I was working full time up until last November, you know, since I left college in 99. And now it's interesting. I thought I'd be working nonstop, and I am doing a fair amount of work, but it's nice. Like, we actually take time and go for walks and go out to eat and So it's, you know, well, the thing is I was working full time and still had an art career. So, you know, all that 8 hours a day that I was at my job, you know, I guess I can compress it into a shorter period of time.
And we kind of got to the point where everything that we were doing was kind of like looking to that next thing in the future. Whereas, like, you know, you're working toward the convention, and then you're working toward that show, and then you're working toward that toy release, and then you realize that you're like defining your life by these 1 to 3 day events.
Yep.
But there's so much that's happening in between that if you don't take even a little bit of time to just stop and actually be in the present, you aren't really living your life. Even though those things are really gratifying and they're really awesome when they happen and it's great to feel success, if you're not actually living those days in between, it's like so much of your life is just zipping by and you're not really paying attention to it. So we're trying really hard to be really mindful of every day. I know that's sounding super like hippie Buddhist, but... I don't know.
It's pretty
like,
accurate,
it's,
though.
It's accurate.
No, but you have to...
I don't want all that time to just go by and then be like, well...
Well, I sure worked a lot.
Yeah, I don't really remember that summer.
Yeah.
You know, we only got out... You know, we like to go hiking, and it's like, wow, we only got out 3 times this summer. That sucks.
Yeah.
That's a whole year of my life I'm not going to get back.
And since I left my job, I mean, we've gone out. We've actually explored the city. I mean, we live in Cleveland, and Cleveland's a pretty great town. And I don't think I really knew it that well until I had, you know, just gotten the time to get out and like meet people and find stuff.
Yeah, find cool restaurants and good cool buildings. And there's a lot here. We just didn't know it.
Nice.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So Leaving the job was a, everybody quit your job.
Yeah. So we got pretty far into the episode before we even told the people who you are. Like, of course, I told them that you're a creative power couple, but
that's all you need to know.
We have
now. Let them keep guessing.
There are people out there that don't know who you are. I know it's probably shocking to hear, but like someone like my wife is a listener to this podcast, and she doesn't really know much about the designer toy scene. So can you briefly give us like your Wikipedia of Amanda and Chris?
Oh, you go first.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. Okay.
Just keep it brief. Just say I make creatures and move on.
Yeah. I make monsters in every incarnation. I think I'm best known for, you know, sort of my fine art version of what I do. You know, we show in galleries a lot, and I do these sort of cute, strange monsters. And you know, then it kind of trickles down into toys and resin multiples. And then I also do, I do a new drawing of a new character every single day and post it on my social media. So,
it's morning scribbles. And I saw that you also have a YouTube channel for that now.
Yeah, I just started that a couple days ago. It's something that's been another thing that's just like been on the back burner forever. And it's funny because it's like, I do the drawings every day. You know, why don't I just point the stupid camera at them while I'm doing them?
Right.
And that came together really well. And I've gotten a really good response from it already. And I've only put up two of them. So
lucky for you, you have a house full of photo equipment.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, she has so much photo equipment. She's sort of an amateur videographer. So we have, soft boxes and light stands and 15 tripods and five cameras. Yeah, it's getting pretty crazy.
It's hardcore. Okay. But, again, with the reining it in, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, for anyone who wants to look up Chris's work before we continue on the rest of the podcast, you can find him on Instagram at Chris Reiniak. And how about you, Amanda?
I'm on Instagram at Amanda Louise Spade. You can find my website at amandalouise.com. And every time I go to the fabric store and they do that obligatory, so what are you making?
Uh-huh.
I never really know how to answer that question. So I think I usually tell people that I make kind of weird, like, bunny dolls. So I make these things that I call dust bunnies, and they're basically fabric body dolls with sculpted faces and human teeth and glass eyes. And they're very, very cute, and they're very, very strange. So that's kind of my more fine art stuff. But I also, like Chris, I do resin multiples, hand-painted and just small, like, cute, unpainted resin minifigures. And we did a vinyl series together, Thimbles to Apollo. And
awesome.
I draw.
I loved it. Yep.
Thank you.
Can I rewind that for a second?
Yeah,
you use actual human teeth?
Well, they're molded from human teeth and cast in translucent material. So they look really, really real, but they're not. It's really fun to like tell people like, oh yeah, those are real, and just walk away. They're not. They're either porcelain or resin, depending.
Well, I've seen them because they do look real, and then I was always kind of like, I wonder what those are. And then hearing you say human teeth, it was kind of like, no way.
Oh God, she does it.
We do have a collection of actual human teeth.
We do. I will say that there is a. I've kind of had to put a moratorium on purchasing more like either actual human tooth specimens or like antique dental, like what are those?
They're sales displays.
They're sales displays for false teeth, basically. And I probably have 12 huge ones. I need to stop.
Yeah,
I don't know what the fascination is with teeth, but it's there.
I wish this was a video conference. I would love to see what you guys.
Me too.
Well, actually, they're in their bedroom right now. They're quarantined with a quilt over the door and everything.
It's pretty sad. It's like there's a hurricane coming.
Well, we're actually in the new studio, which is on the other side of our bedroom. But actually, it's funny because we were just setting up out here. So like the madness hasn't really made it out here yet. It's still pretty clean and
like,
full of IKEA furniture.
I'm setting up my side and it's like a million little weird antique bottles. And so I'm like unpacking this box and I'm putting everything on a tray to find a place for it. And Chris goes, oh, so you're a witch. I'm like, I'm not a witch. And then I look down at what I'm unpacking. I'm like, oh, God, I might be a witch.
Yeah, there was like an antique mirror and a hawk's foot and a muskrat skull.
And some crystals.
And some crystals.
Have you unpacked the big kettle pot yet?
No, not yet, but I have one. Oh, so, yeah, I might be a witch, and I might just not know it. So, yeah, so that's kind of everything from fine art to resin multiples to vinyl toys. I draw a little bit, not nearly as much as Chris does, but, yeah, that's pretty much me.
Okay, so you guys are a creative couple, but not in the sense, like, you guys work on the same stuff. You collaborate on some stuff together, but you pretty much have your own different brands going.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And then, like, where it comes together is our online store, bindlewood.com, is just kind of where we have all of our stuff for sale.
Oh, wait, hold up. Is someone, like constantly clicking on a mouse or something?
It's raining.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Okay.
That might be it. Chris was winding the cord to his headphones repeatedly. Well, that might be it.
Can you tell it to stop raining? It's distracting. okay.
Maybe you could throw like some of the teeth into the cauldron and say a chant and burn some sage.
There you go. Yes.
I'll be right back. I need to get
that book of spells. So, well, Amanda, I want to know, like, when you're working, what does Chris do that just drives you nuts?
Oh no!
It's okay. Go for it.
Chris's mind is always going a million miles an hour with all of the billions of things that he has done, is doing, and wants to do in the future. And I'm very much I'm not really a multitasker when it comes to that kind of stuff. I'm kind of like, I know what I need to do. And granted, he's way more productive than I am, and I think it's largely because of this. But because I'm not like that, constantly having like my very kind of sedentary brain like jolted into, and we need to do this, and we need to do this, when it's like not even close to what I was thinking about. It makes me a little nuts. But I have a sneaking suspicion that me not doing that probably drives him crazy. So there you go.
So yeah, I can't disagree with that.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah. So like, Chris, do you ever get upset when she just seems like she's just lazing around? You're like, come on, be productive. Let's go.
I don't think I get upset. Because, like, I know I'm like that. I know I'm kind of insufferable. I think the only thing that makes me upset is, like she tends to beat up on herself a little bit. And that kind of gets to me. But in terms of, you know, it's just, like, for lack of a better term, it's not productive.
It isn't productive.
So, I mean, not that everything has to be productive. It's just, you know, everybody's got bad habits and things. But I think that... I don't want other people to be me. And like, I used to be a teacher, and that was the thing that like, I would always stress. I'm like, I don't want to make a whole bunch of me, you know, I know how I am. And I know the level of productivity that I have is a little bit crazy. And, you know, I just want her to work on whatever she needs to work on. Sometimes I got to prod her a little
bit.
I'm
a huge procrastinator.
She reminds me like, hey, I want to be working on this. So I'm like, I don't feel bad. I'm like, hey, you should work on this.
But does he ever put you to work, Amanda?
No, I think sometimes, like I'm massively driven by guilt. And guilt and shame are kind of my two main motivators. So if I feel like I'm starting to like look bad, I'll usually get my ass off the, you know, off the seat and do something. I mean, it's not necessarily that I'm not doing anything. I'm not like lazing around watching TV or anything. I think it's more like I'm choosing to do things that maybe aren't the most productive thing at that time. Yeah. The house is really clean, and I really don't need to be constantly cleaning and doing laundry. What I should be doing is working.
See, you're talking to the king of procrastinating. Like, I love just to sit down and watch. Binge watch something. I mean, do you guys ever do that? Or not, is it always just creative
working? Chris watches a lot more stuff than I do. Yeah, I'm not a huge watcher.
I watch a ton of stuff. I'm sort of a movie file.
Yeah, like, much more than I am.
I gotta watch everything. Although lately, like, there hasn't been a whole
lot. We ran out. You watched it all.
I mean, well, we watched, you know, Daredevil and stuff.
Oh, but yeah.
Usually, we try to stop at a certain time every night now, just so, like normal people do, and, you know, sit down and watch something.
But you guys are so far from normal.
Yeah, it's true.
We feel like it's normal. Like, oh, and then you stop working at this time, and then we watch a show, and then, you know, have a little bit of wind down time, and then go to bed. That seems normal.
But you can't do that. Like, you know, as a creative, I know, like, your spark of creativity, like, comes and goes. Have you ever been, like, in the middle of a movie or something? You're like, babe, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Actually, the other night I was like, she said, we're going to stop working at a certain time. And then she came into the studio and she's like, I thought you were going to stop working. So, I mean, that happens a little
bit. Well, because I ran to go take a shower. And when I came out, it's like the studio is completely dark except for the glow of the monitor. And I hear it tick, 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 tick. I'm like, damn it, are you working? You're making me look bad but, here.
You know, I wanted to go back to something you asked earlier. You asked if I ever put Amanda to work or yeah. Vice versa. We both have our like skill sets that one of us is better at one thing than the other. True. And like Amanda's really, she's awesome and at photography. So she does like almost all the photography. So anything we need for a show or a product or anything like that, she usually handles all that. I'm sort of the gaffer. Like I'll stand around and move lights.
Hold this reflector.
Yeah. And move things around while they're being photographed. And you know, like I'm typically the mold maker. So I'll make molds or I'll cast stuff or, you know, put stuff on the belt sander. So I do heavy lifting because she has tiny little stick arms.
He has to close the pressure pot for me because I'm terrified of it. And I don't think I'd be quite so scared of it if I trusted my tiny little wrists to be able to like close it properly. Uh-huh. But I'm worried that like it's going to be that time that I try to do it myself and it's not secured, that it's going to explode and decapitate me. So I'll do everything. I'll mix the resin. It's all ready to go. And then I'll just be like, 30-second warning. Can you come in and turn these knobs? And I'll have to like run in and screw down the top of the pressure pot. And then, yeah. So I can do everything except that part because I'm weak.
Yeah, you're like my grandma handing me the jar of pickles. Can you open this
cap? Oh, yeah. I open so many jars around here.
Well,
we definitely help out. Like, if we're both in the middle of sort of the same type of job, like she needs a bunch of things like primed or something, you know, I'll just grab all her stuff and prime it. Or, you know, if we're drilling holes like in resin pieces, I'll just go and drill all the holes and peg them. But yeah, it's just like that. It's like, you know, I'm already in the middle of something. I might as well just help out.
Yeah.
You guys make it all sound so dreamy. Please tell me there's like an occasional fight where you guys like, your Hufflepuff is stupid.
There's definitely, there's fights and harsh words and tears. And it definitely, I think anytime you get two strong personalities, which we both really have, they're compatible personalities, but they are strong personalities. And yeah, we do have some doozy arguments sometimes, but often we come to this like conclusion at the end where it's kind of like, this is really stupid. Like, what are we doing? Right. Like, I care about you and I care about the longevity of this relationship way more than whatever stupid bullshit we're arguing
about. It's always right now. Arguing over something stupid, too. It's
Pantones? Are you guys arguing over Pantones?
Actually, no. We argue with other people about Pantones.
Do you ever fight dirty and sort of bring each other's artwork into it? Like, if you're fighting about something else, it's like, well, you know what? Like, you're really bad at picking color choices.
No, we're dirtier. Oh. No, we're dirtier than that because we're putting like personality traits into it. Yeah. That's way worse than art. Because I can change my art. I can't do shit about my personality.
For some reason, I picture you guys playing pranks on each other. You guys just seem like that kind of couple.
That's him and his son.
Yeah, my son and I play really stupid pranks on each other. Actually, it's like literally the dumbest.
There's thing. A current one happening there's, right now.
I cut a picture out of like a circular or something. It was like a male model out of a magazine.
Dorky looking guy in like a business suit.
And I just hid it in his room, and then, you know, a few days later, I found it hidden somewhere in my room. And then it's just gotten crazier and crazier. Like, he hid it on the highest window. We have this, like, gabled roof. And he hid it, like, 12 feet up the wall. And then I hid it inside his headphones. I mean, it's just totally stupid.
It's been
stupid.
In the tissues box. It's been in the toilet paper. It's been
on a roll of toilet paper.
It's been everywhere. Wow. I know where it is right now, and you don't, so.
But, no, we kind of hate the idea of, like pranks because they can always go too far.
I like funny pranks. I don't like to get to like the embarrassing. I've got this thing where it's like, I love comedy. I love raunchy comedy. I love really dark comedy. But I have this line that I can't cross where it gets into like other people's discomfort comedy, where it's like, if I see, like, I hate shows where people are playing pranks. I hate shows where people are like super awkward and embarrassed. Like, it just makes me feel like really, really uncomfortable. And like, I can joke about like dead babies and war and horrible, horrible things. But like, once you get into like people being made uncomfortable, oh my God, I can't watch it. It's terrible.
Yeah. Also, you're a big fan of The Office then.
Oh no. That's the worst.
It got to a point with that show that I couldn't even watch it because it was just too awkward. I just can't.
It makes me so uncomfortable. It's funny that like joking about like horrible things doesn't make me uncomfortable, but that makes me so uncomfortable.
I think also we've had like a lot of really uncomfortable people in our lives that were really close to us, and like just seeing that type of thing, it just makes like, you sort
bad
of like
memories, bad in. Memories.
Like, you just don't want to deal with that in your entertainment.
It's
too.
True. Yeah, that's very true.
Speaking of The Office, you guys know how they have the Dundies Awards?
Yes.
So we're thinking about doing that with the Marsham show.
Oh. So
kind of like be like the polar opposite of the DTAs.
Nice. Just,
I don't know what the categories are, but you know, maybe the reward will be a pin or something like that.
That'd be amazing.
We'll see. That's something we're going to
have to talk. We're still working out the technicalities
of
it.
That's great.
Oh, by the way, congratulations on your DTA for best miniseries for Thimble Stump Hollow. I'm calling it right now.
Are you calling it now?
I'm calling it.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. We'll accept this.
We've got our finger on the mouse for on the Megabus website, just in case we need to go to New York this October.
That's right. I know you guys love New York.
Well, I mean, like, the last time we went, I think it was the last time we went to the DTAs. I don't even remember what year it was. It was maybe 3 years ago.
I think it's when I was there with you guys. Probably.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
three years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the last time we went, and I think the reason why I don't like New York is it's not that I don't like New York. I hate getting to New York. It's such a pain in the ass. Like we got really spoiled. Like, we just got back from Tokyo, and you fly into Tokyo, and you can get on a train at the airport and go right into Tokyo.
It's super easy.
Like, in New York, it's like, well, you got to fly into the airport and then take a taxi.
And then it's $1 million.
And then it could be a 2-hour taxi. Then it's $100 for the taxi. And it's super expensive.
Yeah. And then you get to go stay in a really expensive hotel room. And yeah. But when you're there, it's great. Like, New York is great. But getting there is like, ugh, I'm such a whiny baby. I'm so used to my comfort. I can go down the street to the post office.
Yeah. I don't get to do that thing I like for as easy as I usually get it.
No, I mean, like, it's literally easier for us to get on 2 planes and fly 17 hours to Tokyo than it is to go to New York City.
Wow.
Like, I'd rather do that.
So how was Tokyo? I know you guys just got back from the Misfits and Monsters show.
It's really, really great.
It was amazing. This time this is our third time in Japan, and this time was the first time that this show was actually in Tokyo. The show had been previously in Takayama, which is about 6-hour drive from Tokyo, and
it's way up in the mountains.
It's up in the mountains, and it's very like rural and sort of old style city, and they don't have like, you know, subways up there.
I mean, it's kind of like a quaint tourist destination, even for people who live there.
Yeah. So this time it was in Tokyo, which is, we had been to Tokyo before, but you know, we're a little intimidated by the language barrier and
the food.
No, we're not intimidated by the food.
Oh, that's the best part.
It's the best part. Like,
you just eat your way through Japan.
We just fall into Japan mouth first. Yeah. And, you know, but we learned how to use the trains this time, which, you know, like, we're adults. We learned how to use the train, but we went all over the city.
But it was really empowering. Like, once you learn that, you're like, oh my gosh, I can figure this out.
Yeah, and we were there with Andrew Bell and his girlfriend, and Andrew had been there, you know, several times, and he speaks a little bit of Japanese, and he kind of helped us.
Show off.
Yeah, exactly. And we have a friend that works for Medicom also, who kind of showed us the ropes a little bit, and that, it just opened up a whole bunch of new doors for us. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, also the nice thing about Japan is that, like, if you get lost, you're not going to get, like, mugged or robbed or kidnapped. Like, the worst that's going to happen is no one speaks your language, and they'll probably just point you to the subway station. So
I've never been, but I've heard it's ridiculously safe.
It's very safe there. Yeah. Very, very safe.
All right. Well, hey, Tyler, are you still on the line?
I'm still here. I've just been listening.
Well, let's have you let's do our segment of leaks and sneak peeks, and then we'll go back to talking to Amanda and Chris. So, what leaks and sneak peeks is, everybody, this is where the portion of the episode where we talk about something we've seen on social media and something that we're excited about that's coming on the pipe. So, Chris and Amanda, have you guys seen anything recently that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, actually, I mean, this was probably a couple of weeks back. Instinct Toy, I follow Instinct Toy and also the artist Takunji or T9G. Takunji yeah. is how you pronounce it in Japanese, I was told. They were releasing his Reret Genesis Proto Black. And this thing is like, I have a bunch of T9G pieces and it's so weird. Like,
all their stuff is weird.
All of his stuff is so strange. But this one has like a, it's got like a dinosaur tail for an arm, and it's got four eyes, and it's a bear with horns, and like, but it's got a huge smile full of sharp teeth and doll eyes. Like, it's,
well, it's got this like satin black with gloss black, kind of a black on black thing, which is really great.
Yeah, and yeah. I'm a big fan of all of his work. Well, some, they're hit and miss, but like, they're just so strange. Like, they're true like art toys. Like they're just, anything goes with him. But the finish on this one's really cool, though.
Cool. So, and is that available or is that coming out?
I think they had it at the Taipei Toy Festival.
Okay.
So I don't know if they were selling them or not. I've, a lot of it's in Japanese, so I don't know what it all says, but. You know, there'll probably be a lot of colorways of this one. It looks like a fairly large toy, too.
Wow, okay. So, yeah, at the end of the segment, I want to talk to you guys about what you think of what's going on in the designer toy scene, and if you collect. I don't think you guys are big collectors, so we'll find that out after.
Ooh, you might be surprised.
I know. We'll find out. Surprise me. I like the okay. mystery.
Amanda?
Yeah, Amanda.
Oh, okay, so mine is Unbox. They're still in the really, really early stages of this, but there's a doll artist named Annie Montgomery, and she makes these, it's kind of like, okay, so I don't know if she actually uses like retro, like plastic kind of child-shaped doll bodies, or if she, you know, casts them and remakes them, but they're usually topped with, instead of like child heads, they're topped with these kind of like cat, puppy, and like rabbit and various animal heads, and I really cannot figure out how she makes them. I think she makes like a clay understructure and then almost uses like either leather or stiffened fabric with fur on top, and then sets doll eyes into them, so they look kind of realistic, but they also kind of look like kind of poorly done taxidermy at the same time. Okay. And they're really lush and really beautiful and really textural. But Unbox is doing a vinyl version of either one or two of her figures. One is like a boy with a cat head, and one has a rabbit head. And I think they're still in the tooling stage of this, but I've seen a couple like test pulls on their Instagram, and I'm super, super excited about them.
Yeah, I have no idea how they're doing it, because like on the bodies, I noticed like there's fabric for the clothes, like, but it's molded.
But it's molded in.
So you're seeing all the weave pattern on like the socks, and it's I have no idea how they're pulling it off. But
So I'm looking at it now. Yeah, it's
cool. There's a big part of me is like really hoping that they do it unpainted, because I love like unpainted stuff, especially like that, because it ends up looking kind of like ceramic or something. But we'll see. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, it looks cool. Yeah, I was scrolling through their entire feed this morning because I saw something else that I really liked that they were doing. But I completely missed this. So awesome.
I really love Unbox. Everything they've done recently, I've really enjoyed. They're great.
Like, it's different, isn't it? It's really interesting to see, like, well, that's weird. And it might not all be stuff that I like, but it's different.
Yeah, and from one project to the next, too. It's like, it's not like, oh, well, they're gonna do another one of these. Like, it's they're kind of all over the place, which I like.
It's kind of cool. Yeah, it's varied, which is really nice, because a lot of times you get into like, you know, not that if you have a lot of the same good thing it's bad, but it is kind of nice to see some variety.
Yeah, they're not predictable, that's for sure.
No.
Yeah, I love their John Ken Mortensen stuff too.
Oh yeah, like those weird witches.
Yeah,
the witches and the vampires and the kid with the thing. I don't even know what it is. That
thing, it's like a ghost coming out of its head. Yeah.
It's really, really cool.
Is it Baltan? The
Oh, and yeah. He just posted that the other day.
Only the left half of them is painted, and the rest is like phasing into this just all clear vinyl. It's really cool.
Huh. Yeah, they do great stuff. They're kind of quickly becoming my favorite manufacturer or producer, I guess I should call them.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're doing good stuff. Hey, Tyler, why don't you tell us what you're looking forward to?
So mine actually isn't so much of a thing as it's sort of an experience.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Bungee jumping.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's base jumping.
It's new. And,
support me in my first base jump. And you could not... There isn't a Kickstarter that would raise enough money to get me to jump off of anything. But this Kickstarter, though, is they're trying to raise $12,000, and it's called The Last Apothecary. I have to apologize. Yeah. And it's by Xingyan Kor. And I apologize if I mispronounced any part of that. It's awesome. It's this experience that she is part of a group that does this installation art projects. And so this is going to be they're raising money to do this. And they call it an immersive narrative interactive space apothecary haunted house installation, which that's is amazing. Like... It's all of my favorite words combined into one thing. And so they want to take it to Burning Man 2016. And I love the aesthetic of Curio Cabinet. You know, right. Kind of that Frankenstein's lab, you know, Sherlock Holmes living room.
Yeah, you need to come over.
Our entire house looks like that.
I was thinking that when you were talking about like the display of dental oddities.
Yeah.
God, I want to come see this.
Yeah, that sounds like pretty much what you're describing right now.
Yeah, this sounds really, really cool. What I like about the – because like I'm not going to go to – I mean, I don't really want to spend like 5 days at Burning Man. And so sometimes I see things like
that. You don't want to spend 5 days with high hippies?
You know what it is? It's – and this is like – such a stupid cop-out. It's more the showering.
No, I was just about to say, no, it's like, being in the desert with no hygiene.
Well, and last year they said they got, like, inundated with bugs, like, so bad.
I can't do it, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got, like, swarmed with bugs, and it's more or less like the being dirty for 5 days. I can deal with hippies. I mean, I work in San Francisco. Like, I mean, we see that. Like, anytime you walk down the street, you get... Like, you get crazy all over the place. Like, I'm not worried about the crazy. It's more like the, I don't like being dirty, which is so lame.
Well, Xing is super tenacious, and, like, she kind of gets herself into, like, all kinds of crazy situations, and she doesn't shy away from that stuff at all. So, you know, like, more power to her. She does some really awesome stuff like that. She just goes for it.
She also has a real kind of, like, theatrical, like, set-building sort of background. So that's – I know she's built multiple things that she's taken to Burning Man. And she's, like
– I think this is their traveling third.
Yeah, there's, like, some, like, traveling –
installation there.
Traveling performance of, or like, a Shakespeare company or something that they did where they, like, did everything out of this van, and she built everything inside this van. It's amazing.
They built a giant boat on a truck.
Yeah.
That they took to Burning Man.
So she's well-versed in this.
I'm impressed with all her giant projects. So, yeah, she just kind of comes up with things and then just goes for it.
She's a tiny girl with giant projects.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Tiny girl with big boots.
Yep.
It's true. I guess part of this, too, was funded by a grant from Burning Man. And so the Kickstarter is just to kind of, I guess, do the technicalities, like getting good light set up. And so, I mean, it which is cool because it's one of those things that will happen no matter what. You know, it's not like you're pledging money for something that might not happen. It's kind of like it's going to happen anyway. And this is just going to make it better.
Yeah.
Now they need to bring it to, like, San Diego Comic-Con. So showered. Well,
I've always said that, like, people. You know, if you could go to Burning Man for a day, you know, like, I would love to go for the day and see all the art, but I'd like to be able to go home at the end.
Yeah.
You know, and it just doesn't work that way. And I understand why it doesn't. I mean, it is its own thing, but this is the kind of thing.
That's how I feel about Comic-Con too, though, to be fair.
Yeah, no, that's another one too, where, I kind of like – my favorite part of Comic-Con is actually – because I've worked a couple. I've been sort of a booth employee. And I love that about 45 minutes before it opens, when everyone who's working the booths is inside but none of the public is in there, and you can actually kind of walk around and it's empty but everyone's still there. Right. You know, that's like the best part of Comic-Con for me.
That's the only time you can really see things.
Yeah, and then it just becomes a tidal wave.
And then, it's like the running of the bulls when they open the doors.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's when you hide.
Yeah.
Get in the booth, get in the booth.
Are you guys going this year?
Yes, we are. We just got our tickets the other day, so
we'll be at the cardboard spaceship booth.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I'm passing. I've been doing it the last 14 years, so I'm taking a pass.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
You got us beat. Yeah, I think this will be my 9th year, I think.
Okay. So. Guys.
Well, yeah. Yeah, started in 2003. I've been exhibiting since, and this is the first year. I'm going to step out, and my wife's actually going to a teacher conference that week, so okay. It's not like I'm going to be having a big party. I'm going to be stuck at home with the two kids and trying to hold down the fort here, so we'll...
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like every single year I go, and everybody we know, too.
Every year I know you say,
am I going to go? Yeah, I'm not going to
show up.
Yeah.
And you don't even have a hotel room. You just show up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just show up and then, I figure out where I'm going to stay. And it was kind of the same thing this year, but we have a couple releases that I don't think we can announce them yet, but got a couple releases. So figure we'll be there and
represent.
Nice.
I've said that too. Like after working a couple, it was like, I'm not going to go back for a couple of years. And I actually didn't go back the last 2 years, but just, it wasn't because I voluntarily didn't. We just had prior obligations that weekend. And, I've actually really regretted it both times.
Oh, really?
It's kind of easy to say I'm not going to go. And then everyone's Instagram starts to fill up and all your friends are there. Right. And, people who you're friends with, on the East Coast that I can't see a lot. But, you kind of feel like.
That's the only part I miss. I don't think I'll miss being in the convention working at all. I think the part I am going to miss is just I love the atmosphere in downtown and just hanging out with old friends. And that's I still might drive up on Saturday. My wife comes back from the convention on Friday.
Nice.
So maybe I'll just go up for Saturday and Sunday and we'll see. I'll show them the break.
That's definitely the best part.
That's why we like decon so much because it just feels like you get a little more time because there's not, a crushing crowd of 10,000 people there.
Yeah.
So you get to actually visit, and we always call it the family reunion with merchandise because that's kind of what it feels like. Like you can just go and see people, and it's a little more relaxed.
Well, yeah, but then when you guys get together, it's always like with a giant – I always see you like a picture of you guys at dinner with the Stranger Factory crew, and it always seems like there's 20 people going out to dinner.
Yeah, in recent years, we're kind of trying to avoid that a little bit, mostly because you don't get to talk to everybody when you're in such a big crowd.
Yeah.
We find that, you're doing all these things, but you realize that you're not really getting quality time with people. So we've started to kind of like have like maybe more meetings with less people.
Yeah.
And it works because it's more one-on-one.
We have some pretty dedicated collectors that come out, they come all the way out from Connecticut or New York or New Jersey. And these are people that have huge extensive collections of our work, and we always try to, and it's funny because they've become our friends too, so we always try to like spend a lot of time with them, and mostly because like they're our friends now, but then they go to buy stuff from us and we feel bad because they're our friends now.
Yeah That's an odd relationship to get into because you want to take care of them and
right.
Exactly.
How about you, Gary? Actually, we kind of got off track talking about Comic-Con and stuff. Do you have anything you've seen this week that's got you excited?
Actually, just before the show started, like literally just minutes before we got on, I saw that Pauber had Instagrammed a new image. Well, actually, just the first image of Andrew Bell's version of the Autumn Stag, something that I originally designed, and I reached out to Andrew probably 2 years ago for his version of the Autumn Stag. So
we're looking it up now.
Yeah, so it's coming down the pipe. It's Andrew's take is completely, it's complete contrast to the original. It has some new sculpted elements. It's going to be, I believe it's all either hand painted or pad printed, so there's going to be no decal work whatsoever. So it's going to look fantastic. So I just saw all the photos yesterday, and I can say that it's when Pauber does reveal all the photos, I think everyone's going to be pretty impressed because it looks
awesome.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Andrew's stuff is always so clean too.
Yeah. It's been a work. It's been in the pipeline for a long time, and just trying to get Andrew's detail work correct on this has been quite the challenge. So I think it's finally been met, and it's going to be awesome. So I don't know any details of price or release date, but just anyone who's interested in that, be following Pauber. And another thing I was going to bring up is 3 years ago, anybody who was on Chris Ryaniak's Instagram saw that he and I have a collaborative work of the Whooper Looper.
Yay!
Yeah, three years.
3 years. So I'm hesitant to say that this is going to be coming out soon because I've been telling people that forever. But I can honestly say that the first official poles have happened and they are waiting to be painted. So,
oh man,
I want to say, you know, they're going to be coming out in a few months, but with Comic-Con coming up, I don't know. I imagine they're just going to get pushed to the wayside and for all the, so we'll see.
It would be nice if that thing finally came out. I mean, this happens sometimes with projects. I mean, sometimes projects just never come out.
It shouldn't be like this, though.
But it shouldn't be like this. No, somebody's not pulling their weight.
And it's you know, it's not just us experiencing it. It's a lot of other people I know too. But I'm tired. Chris, I still do get emails of people like, "Hey, what's going on with that?" You know, Fatty Whooper Looper, and I'll tell them, hey, I think it's going to be coming out in a few months. And then, you know, almost a year goes by and I get another email from that same person. What's going on? And so that's getting old, but
yeah, I can imagine.
I do think that we are getting close to seeing the first release.
I hope so. I mean, that thing is going to be such a big chunk of vinyl. I mean, you told me to make it fat, so
I made it real fat. He looks so good.
I have the resin. The first resin pole that I made of the master sitting up on my shelf, so I get to see that thing every day. But
to rub his belly. Like
what's really funny? I don't know if I may have told you this, but I don't remember when I was tooling the master. Before I sent it to you.
Yeah, I heard, yep.
You know, I sanded the crap out of that thing. Like, you know, anybody that's done resin or done a master for a toy, you know, you got to, like, prime it and sand it and then prime it again and sand it again. And then I was down to my last layer of primer, and I went to spray it, and for some reason, like, it resisted. And it just, all the paint just, like, sort of, like, pooled up into these weird veins.
It was
veins.
A nightmare.
And I'd been working on it for a week, and I don't think I'd sworn that much ever. So I took a toothbrush and mineral spirits to it and started the whole process over because it's the only thing you can do. And I mean, anybody that's made art or done anything like this, that happens. You know, sometimes you get into a situation where it's like the only two options are you quit and it just doesn't happen,
right?
Or you just fix it. Like those are the two things. And you know, so many times I've had to just fix it, and that was one of them. But yeah, that was heartbreaking. And I wove together a tapestry of profanity.
I think all of us have experienced that moment. We're on the brink of tears from frustration.
Yeah. Yeah.
I go over the brink on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I wish I could blame it on, like, being a woman or hormones or something. I think I'm just easily disappointed.
Well, I think too, we're always trying new things, like new processes and new, you know, like new ways to put things together. I mean, the whole resin casting thing is I taught myself how to do all that.
Trial and error at best.
How to make all those molds, and I'm always trying to make new, different types of molds. And I mean, I was talking to Amanda about this the other day. I think I made my first mold in like 2000.
Whoa.
And so I've been doing it for a long time, and like I totally taught myself. Like I had this figure. It's so ugly. It's so ugly. It's called the Midwestern. That was the first figure that I did. And like, don't look it up because it's so ugly. But you know, I cast like 30 of those things, and I had a show at the Showroom Gallery in New York, and that was owned by Toy Tokyo at the time. And you know, I wanted to make some multiples, but I wasn't even in the sort of like toy scene yet. I was still just doing paintings. And, but anyway, I think a lot of the reason why we screw up a lot is because we're trying things that we've never tried before.
Especially Chris, like he almost doesn't do things the same way twice. and that he's constantly putting himself through this like emotional turmoil because he's all like things are always messing up, but they're not messing up because he doesn't know what he's doing. They're going wrong because he's introducing like brand new variables with every single thing that he does. And it's just like, just keep doing. I said, like, do what I do. Do the exact same thing every single time. Yeah, you'll get bored.
Yeah, but then once in a while you come up with some process.
Yeah, I'll get a wild hair at my ass to try some things, but you, it's like every single time. It's like, can you just do something twice?
Because I get bored. I get so bored, so I got to try. I got to try new stuff all the time.
I mean, I can relate to that on a very small level. Like, I get small windows of time with the two kids to get out in the garage and make something. In my mind, everything should take, like, only 2 hours. So I'll get my small window, I'll go out in the garage, and I'll get, like, halfway through, and then my wife will be like, okay, it's time, you know, it's your turn. You know, I'm like, no, you know, it's like, I need to keep working. I mean, my wife is, you know, really supportive and letting me, you know, and work and everything, but sometimes, you know how, like, with kids, you don't always get to work when you want to work.
And, exactly. Yeah.
And that's so frustrating for me, because I'll be, like, right in the middle of something, like, in the full height of creativity and just working things out, figuring out the engineering, and it's like, all right, wrap it up. You know, your kid's wanting to climb your leg, and it's, but, so, yeah. Oh, and I've had plenty of things break. I've dropped things, and I think I've maybe cried once or twice over a mistake or something happening.
I think Chris can commiserate with you very much at that point.
We've all been there. I mean, I think the thing for me is like when I'm making a piece, you know, generally the body is like, it's full of like hair texture or skin or wrinkles or warts or something. So that stuff you can kind of fudge and you're not going to see the imperfections.
Yep.
But when it comes down to things like eyes, that's where I run into the biggest problems because the eyes always have to be super perfect, and I'm casting them so that my molds have to be perfect, and then I have to varnish them perfectly, and then when I go to install them, I have to be super careful of what type of adhesive I'm using and how much pressure I'm putting on it, not to ruin the varnish, and you know, so that's where everything goes wrong for me, and I've had to pull out eyes and redo them multiple times. So
that's why I'm glad I started making everything look antique. Because it's like you just work this, like I just call it charm, whatever. It's like, you know, like, well, that's rustic charm is what that is. But that's not to say that I'm, you know, I do a lot of things, but you know, it's nice to be able to cover something up with like, oh, that's meant to be there.
Right. No, totally. Well, that brings me to the next thing. Like, you guys are so hands-on with everything that you do, from the sculpting to the sewing. I mean, you guys do everything from beginning to end. And you guys do a lot of, like, micro-releases of runs of 10 to 30 of something.
Yeah.
How do you feel when someone buys one of your micro-runs, like something you put your blood, sweat, and tears in, and then sends it to someone else to re-customize?
That doesn't happen a lot, no?
Okay.
Actually.
I could have sworn I've seen that happen once or twice.
Yeah, it's happened a few times. I think, okay, so if it's, like, something that's unpainted, like, go for it. I mean, it's... That's fine.
Yeah, like we sell like tons and tons of those little resin minis and people customize those, but like they're unpainted.
Yeah, that's to be expected. I'm talking about the stuff you had a certain vision and then you spent the time painting it and then someone else just stripped it and repainted it.
I don't know if I've ever had that happen.
I've had it happen a few times. It's hard because this is our art and you have to have a certain amount of letting things go, but that's never the intention when you release something that you painted by hand, is to have somebody else paint it. And then it's funny because they'll go, oh, what do you think of this? And be like, I think it looked great the way I sent it out.
Why would you ask me that?
You know, like, not to be a jerk, but like, you know, I made it that way for a reason. And I have released things that were blank with the intention that people would paint them or do whatever. But I think the thing is people can't get upset when I'm not like stoked on something. You know, I've seen some things that were painted and things that were customized that people did a really great job on.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of time it's like when I see a tattoo of my work, like, and people use their own color sense, and oftentimes it's so off from what I would do. And I'm not going to lie and be like, that's awesome. Cause you know, I'll be like, you sure did that. You know, but I just give them a thumbs up. I give them a thumbs up emoticon. You know, I mean, it's awesome that they're getting tattoos of my work. Like that's that, it's super flattering, but I can't help but cringe. It's like, you know, seeing when your kids come home with, like, I don't know, a bad haircut.
Yeah, but haircuts grow out.
Yeah, it's true.
Right.
I was trying to think of a good analogy.
Yeah, with a bad
tattoo. Yeah. Tattoo of my work on them.
Well, one thing we try to do on the show is also, we also want to kind of teach, like, you know, teach the listeners a little something. And you guys are both masters of branding. Like, you guys rarely ever stray away. Like, we know exactly what you're going to do. I know you both could probably draw anything that you wanted to, but you don't show that to your just general public. So, in your free time, do you guys ever draw anything that's outside of your brand, or are you just solely focused on your brand?
I think a lot of time, I think because when we're working on our own stuff. But I mean, there was a night where we sat down and we drew all the My Little Pony characters.
We did.
Fun.
Yeah. I mean, like,
it's brony.
Mine looked really bad.
Well, I have a 10-year-old daughter, so, and she's like, you know, it's funny because we had to describe to her what a guilty pleasure was tonight, and she said My Little Pony.
Yeah, I'm like, that's fine, because, you know, I don't look at guilty pleasures being necessarily bad things. They're just things that you're like, yeah, I'll admit it.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, not my finest moment, but no, I'll admit it.
Tyler and I, we share a very guilty pleasure. I don't think we're ever ready to reveal it on the show, but we are comrades in this. We might start a podcast about it. No, we both watched the Bachelor and Bachelorette series.
Oh, okay.
But I can get Vika for a long time. I have it for a while because I haven't had time. And also they closed down one of my favorite blogs for this. But for a long time I was super into, like, just the trashiest, like, not TMZ level, but like super trashy, like, celebrity gossip.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so stupid because I don't really care. Yeah. I think it was just like, I don't know. It's like a soap opera.
And that's the thing.
Technically, my wife's watching it, and I'm just like in the room for the whole
episode. I'm the same.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something my wife and I do together. We have several shows like that, right?
Oh, that's good.
But The Bachelor's so, I mean, jacked up, because I don't understand how these people can go on dates, and it's so planned out. It's so scripted. Come around the corner, and the camera's going to be there. And,
right.
And that's what fascinates me about the show. And the same with Tyler. It's like, we'll just laugh at, like, how planned out every aspect of this show is.
The Bachelor sneaks into the girl's room to take a girl on a secret 3 a.m. date, and she pops out of bed with perfect hair and makeup. She's like, I didn't know you were coming. Oh, I'm so tired.
I saw an episode where a guy sprained his ankle, right? And then later he's going to visit the girl, and he's limping on the wrong leg.
It's amazing.
Come on.
It's so bad. It's just like the epitome of just trash TV, but it's like, basically, I mean, it's a car wreck. Like, you're always turning to look at it.
But there is a secret part of me that does enjoy it. I find myself rooting for certain people and whatnot.
That's okay. There was a blog for a long time. It's gone now, but there was a blog called Celebrity Plastic Surgery that was totally my favorite thing, because it was like a doctor just writing about, like, who had, you know, that's some decent work, and who had, like, the oh honey no of breast implants and rhinoplasty and all kinds of stuff like that. So yeah, there you go. But yeah, to answer your question, rarely do we do that, but it's funny. I feel like that's the kind of thing we should do more often. I mean, when you worked a full-time job, you weren't drawing on brand during your day job.
I mean, a year I would probably make about 300 pieces of art for that company. Yeah. And, I was a greeting card designer, so I was doing any style you could possibly imagine, you know, from, like, really traditional hand lettering styles on, you know, sympathy cards all the way down to, you know, farting teddy bears. Like, I would do everything.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to be a jack of all trades. So it's interesting. I haven't really done a lot of that since I left. Yeah. And I have a portfolio literally full of thousands of pieces. And most people would never know that those pieces were done by me. So talk about going off brand. I mean, I think people's head would spin. I never shared that with anybody. You know, I never showed it on social media. It was my job. You know, it wasn't my art. Somebody was telling me what to do and I did it. And, you know, so yeah, I mean, I guess if you talk about going off brand, that's as far off brand as I want.
Yeah. I think I use my relationship with Chris's daughter, like, to, like, justify doing, like, crazy art and craft type projects all the time. So that's kind of my, like,
you bake, you know, cakes.
We bake cakes. We do, like, yeah, like lots of costume type stuff. She's super into costumes, so we do the stuff like that. And, like, she's into, like, wizards and magic stuff, so we'll, like, make a bunch of, like, old parchment with coffee and, like, make quills and things like that. So that's super fun. Yeah, so that's kind of that's play.
I see, like, lots of stuff in your Instagram feed about cool birthday party. Like, your son's 15-year-old birthday. You guys did, like,
Yeah, it's Illuminati.
Illuminati party. I mean, you guys are wearing masks and everything.
I wrote an entire ritual that we read.
It was amazing. Like, we had like the Eyes Wide Shut music playing, and we led him into the room blindfolded, and everybody was wearing masks, and he was almost in tears because he was afraid he was going to mess up the ritual because he had no idea what he walked into.
Did you have a bunch of half naked ladies sprawled throughout the house?
No, we just had a dark room with some candles lit around his Illuminati cake, pyramid cake, and Amanda wrote this whole incantation.
Well, and the thing is too, like, so my mom was a drama teacher, so I've been around, like, performance pretty much my entire life, so I can be completely deadpan and not break into giggles. Like, I just can do that. Yeah. So I think he's not really used to seeing me not just completely humorless and completely straight.
Oh, and we were wearing all white Stark masks.
Yeah, so it's probably a little odd, but
at the end, he was so stoked on the whole thing at the end.
It was great.
But
we broke the tension at the end by playing Smash Mouth's All Star when we turned the
I don't remember seeing that in Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, no. But I mean, we do that kind of stuff. I mean, we like to go all out on things. Like, we're planning a party for my daughter's belated birthday.
It had to be belated because we were working on some shows. But she really wants a Five Nights at Freddy's party.
Cool.
We're working on doing, like, we're actually going to build like an interactive multimedia immersive Five Nights at Freddy's experience in the basement.
Like a haunted house in our house, basically. Cool. Like a live action version of the game.
Holy How man. Do we get invited to this birthday party?
Pretty great.
Yeah, I need to. Well, maybe I'll move to Ohio, or you guys can move to Phoenix because I want to be a part of some of this.
Yeah, we're gonna need some volunteers, so come on over.
But I think that's where all our energy goes. You know.
Yeah, that's our fun energy.
Yeah. You guys sound like an awesome family. I'm hoping, you know, we'll be the same with my kids when they're older.
Yeah, you just gotta get them to the verge of scarring them.
Yeah, but your kids still want to hang out with you, so that's cool. You know, you got that going for you.
Yeah, it's good. Like, I never thought that I'd ever be in a relationship with kids. Like, I never had kids, and I'm really, like, kind of mortified around kids because I'm an only child. I never had small children in my life ever, so I had this, like, oh my god, I don't know how to act around kids. I don't know how to be around kids, but it's worked out okay.
Yeah, I mean, luckily when you came into the relationship, I mean.
Oh, they're, like, done.
Chloe was, like,
they're
seven.
They're, like, grown up, yeah.
No diapers to change.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
The tantrum stage is over. Hopefully the tantrum stage is over.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting into the teenage drama angst, though. That's going to be coming.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, the 15-year-old is,
We're already there.
It's not his fault. Yeah. I mean, we were all 15, and if you look back at yourself when you're 15,
you're like, that was a little shit.
I would have beat me up.
it's so different now today too with all the apps. You got Tinder, and you just have to, like, closely watch your kids so much more now.
Yeah,
it seems
it's different.
Yeah, but I think
kids are the same. The thing is, it's like, you know,
yeah,
I don't,
it's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
I think that, like, the world may have been different, but I don't think there was any golden age. Like, teenagers today are the same as teenagers when I was a kid are the same as teenagers. Like, you're the same when you're an adolescent.
But the thing that we always talk about, like, my daughter is, like, sort of an otaku anime fan, and she's, like, a super fan of super geeky, obscure things that...
It's great.
You know, when we wanted to be fans of obscure things, there was nobody else around that we knew that liked those things. And now with, like, sort of, like, online communities...
Yeah, you can find people who like that.
You can find all your
weird-ass
friends online, you know? Like...
I totally agree. Like, even with the conventions, like, when I was in high school, I was completely intimidated by all the girls there because I just was. But if I can go to the Phoenix Comic Con and see Cindy Lou, who I had a crush on, walking around as a Thundercat, like,
that would have blown your mind.
That would have completely changed everything to me. You know, like, I would have known, like, oh, she's a nerd too. I can go talk to her.
Right.
So
you had to like test the waters and pretend that you weren't into this stuff. Like you'd go up to people and you're like, so do you want to come over and like, I don't know, we can watch a Giants game or the 49ers or Return of the Jedi, or we can
just wait.
What'd you say? Nothing. Let's go watch the Viking game.
Well, we always joke because like Amanda was, well, actually we both were like huge fans of stop motion animation, and it's not like Nightmare Before Christmas stop motion animation. Like this is like Jan Svankmajer and the Brothers Quay, like really obscure stuff. And like I remember being in high school trying to find a Brothers Quay VHS tape that I had ordered from Germany from the back of a magazine.
I think I might have ordered the same one from the back of the same magazine.
And like, you know, I was one of two people who even knew what the hell I was talking about. And then like Tool videos came out and they're like, oh
my God.
You know, and I'm like, no, that's not even Brothers Quay. They're just ripping them off. But then, like, years later, her and I, you know, met, and we started talking about this stuff. And, like, you know, we met in person, in IRL. And,
nice acronym,
you know,
there.
And we find out, you know, we're into the same stuff. But it's just kind of ironic that, you know, the super obscure crap that we were looking for when we were younger.
Well, like, I grew up in kind of, like, Nowheresville, Ohio, too. So, like, my like, the pool of people was really small where I was from. So it's like your chances of meeting a fellow art nerd were like really, really low where I was, because I wasn't even really in a city. So, yeah. But now there's the internet, so that solved all those problems.
Yeah.
So I know someone listening is going, are they married or are they not married?
We are not married.
We are not married. We might as well be.
We keep talking about it. Here's the situation.
We're so
romantic.
We
don't have time.
Well, here's the thing. I'll get ordained and we'll just do it over the podcast.
We're seriously talking about doing something like that. I think the problem too is that we just built an addition onto the house, and weddings cost money, so we need to save up a little bit. But
yeah, well, it's funny because we're talking like, okay, so we need to get married, so we'll just go to the courthouse and do that, and then like it's super like logistical stuff.
Yeah, I think my exact words was, if we're going to get married, we should just do it, because if we keep putting it off, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and then we'll just have a reception at DCon because all our friends will be there.
It's so romantic. Anyway.
There you go. Yeah.
We're very practical people.
Yeah. And we both had our previous like giant weddings.
Yeah, we're both divorced.
Our previous lives.
There you go. So the first one is where you spend all your money. The second one.
Yeah, exactly. I had the lavish
the
wedding.
The second
one's
where you know what you actually want.
Yeah.
It's just different.
Because you're not in your 20s anymore.
Yeah. And you know, you don't have to invite every extraneous
relative. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yep. So this was part A. We were actually having too much fun talking with Chris and Amanda, and we went way over our scheduled 1 hour time. So rather than cut out material, what we decided to do was split our conversation into two episodes. So part B will release tomorrow, or currently available for download depending on when you hear this. So stay tuned, because on the flip side, we will hear their thoughts on copyright and IP theft, what their collecting habits are, who they would produce toys with if they were creative directors of a toy company. In my favorite segment, we play a round of the not-quite-yet newlywed game with them. So stay tuned, or download episode 10, part 2, now.